new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Good morning. It's Monday, March 30th, and you are listening to the College Football Daily, a 24/7 sports podcast dedicated to catching you up on and breaking down the day's college football news. My name is Trey Scott. Hope everybody had a good weekend. So I have a question. Who are the best players in college football? Well, that'd be easy. You just go check an All-American team. Who are the best freshmen? It's also easy. You would just check the 24/7 sports true freshman All-American team. Best recruits? Check 24/7 Sports' recruiting rankings. It's pretty easy. But what about broadly the best young players? Like the future stars of the game, future NFL stars too. If you were building that list, where do you start? How do you define young? What about under the age of 20? In my opinion, that's a perfect cutoff because Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Micah Parsons, Ja'Marr Chase, they're all 20 years old already. So they're on anybody's list of the best players in football, period. But under 20, and you're digging a bit deeper, you're combining so far production and recruiting pedigree as a way to definitively highlight the best young talent in or entering the college football ranks. And if you're wondering why I'm asking that, it's because Monday at 24/7 Sports, we revealed a 20 under 20 list, which is kind of a play on our 30 under 30 coaches list. But the 20 under 20 is meant to identify the best young talent in college football. Go check it out. Who's on it? Well, for example, Georgia's Nolan Smith is on this list. And this is why this is different from a true freshman All-American team. Nolan was the number one recruit in the class of 2019, but with just 2.5 sacks, he didn't deserve to make our true freshman All-American team. But our national experts and our people who cover Georgia still believe in him as a massive talent. Who else? Well, we've got three incoming 2020 freshmen who all got grades of 101 in the top 247 coming out of high school. They have not played a snap of college football yet, but this time last year, neither had Derek Stingley. And don't forget about him. I'll come back to Stingley. And this is kind of fun. In an under 20 limit, you're also locating some younger upperclassmen like Alabama cornerback Patrick Surtain Jr. and Oregon left tackle Penei Sewell. Those two are so accomplished and yet still have so much room to grow. They'll turn 20 soon. Back to Stingley Jr. If this list has a headliner, it's him. The LSU cornerback was phenomenal last season, picking off 6 passes and playing a massive role on that title-winning Tiger team. And somehow it wasn't that surprising. Stingley was the number 2 player in the top 247 rankings in 2019, the highest ever for a cornerback. So the hype was massive. He skipped the All-American game in San Antonio 2 Januaries ago to go ahead and start working with LSU during its Fiesta Bowl prep against Central Florida, and he dominated. A cornerback has never gone higher than 3rd in an NFL draft, but if you want to get crazy and look ahead at the 2022 NFL draft, could Stingley be in line to break a record? I mean, how would he not be at least a top 5 pick? But what happens before then will be one of the more interesting storylines in college football because Stingley is positioned and perhaps well-positioned to make a Charles Woodson-esque push for a Heisman Trophy. There's plenty to talk about when it comes to the 18-year-old known as Little Sting, and given the advent of our 20 under 20 on Monday, I called up his father, Derek Stingley Sr., to get some answers. All right, we're bringing in Derek Stingley Sr. Derek, we've got your son, obviously, sort of headlines our list of 20 under 20 college football's best players under the age of 20. I guess that's not really a surprise to anybody. But in doing some research for this interview, I really loved reading about his upbringing and how you were involved in that and sort of all that went into Derek learning about football. He hung out at your practices when you coached in the Arena League. He had route trees drawn in paper on his walls. You guys would drill on every route in the yard. What do you think when you look back at Derek's football upbringing was the most important aspect of all of it?
You know, it was more so him wanting to do it. Like, I've never, you know, just said, you have to learn this, or I need you to do it this way. It was all him, you know. It was every day he was just like, Dad, can we do this? Dad, can we play catch? Dad, can you show me this? So it was all on him, you know. So, you know, you would think with someone like him that because of what I've done, you know, with my career, that I would probably push him to do things. All that was basically him. And I just nurtured it from that point. But I did have a conversation with him. I said, listen, man, if this is what you want to do, this is how we have to approach it. You know, you have to be serious about it. You know, you have to do things that other people are not willing to do. Like, you may have to get up early. You may not have time to play on the video game. We may do extra work after practice. And he agreed upon it. And the rest is what you see now.
Any idea how old he was when you guys had that conversation?
Oh, man, you know, it was probably back when, you know, I was coaching, what year was that? 2009. I was coaching in Arena Football League. It was called the AF2. And that was me coaching the Bossier City Battle Wings. And we would drive back and forth from Baton Rouge, that's where we live, up to Shreveport, you know, during the latter part of the week to go up there for practices and things like that. And I think it was somewhere within that conversation, you know, it was car rides home, coming back and forth on the highway. And he was serious about it back then. So that would have put him at about 8 years old, maybe.
Wow. Yeah, and he's already regarded as a technician with elite ball skills. Anyone who watches him sees that that's obvious. I'm wondering, though, he's also a really rare athlete. And a lot of that, most of it, is probably genetics. And Derek has great bloodlines. But how did you hone and train that athleticism? Like, he runs a 4.3 40. Last we checked, it might be faster now. Like, was he always going to be that fast? Like, did he play other sports? How did you do that?
Well, the good thing about Derek always being with me is that I'm also a trainer, too. I train speed and agility and strength and conditioning as well. So at his upbringing, I owned a gym where I was partnering with the gym. Here in Baton Rouge, and I would train, you know, the local high school kids. I would train some guys for their pro days. Or we would just train people who just want to come in and get faster, stronger, bigger, all the above. And Derek would be right there alongside the people I'm training. You know, he's like 7, 8, 9, 10, but he's doing every drill. He's in everything. And it was amazing because I would also train some kids like a local, like park district baseball team, and they may have been like 12 year old league, and Derek would be eight years old, and he would outrun, out hustle, be quicker than all the other 12 year old kids, and I'm looking like, this is unbelievable. But it was because he was naturally at every workout session, every practice. And I wouldn't like include him in it. He'll be on the side doing it, and like, he would watch what we would be doing, and I would, you know, just look over there every now and then and say, nope, run like this, keep your elbows like this, make sure your arms are this way, you know, those different things. So I didn't like train him right alongside pro guys or college guys, but he was there mimicking and doing things. Now, naturally, when our own time came, I did some things with him, but it wasn't like, okay, you're going to work alongside this professional athlete or this college kid. But he was there every day. And I think that had a lot to do with it, because from that point on, it was easy to train him, you know, because he would correct himself sometimes. You know, if I would say, Derek, you know, that wasn't right, he'd say, yeah, you know, Dad, I didn't have my hand right. You know, I felt weird coming out of my stance, things like that. And he still do it to today. Like, I was training him yesterday, and we were talking about a drill, and he was like, but wait a minute, that's not how you do the drill. I said, Derek, this is how we do the drill. He's like, well, no, it's your drill, but you're not doing it right. I said, Derek, I'm adding to the drill. He's like, oh, yeah. Okay, I get it. Because he was so used to it being a certain way. So he's just one of those guys where, you know, he's easy to coach, and you know, he loves being coached as well.
When do you think he realized he was going to be better than anybody? It sounds like maybe you knew, but like, was it the opening finals in 2018? We're out in the sun in Frisco, Texas, and it's 115 degrees outside, and nobody's catching a pass on Derek, and he's going against Kyle Ford. Like, was it like, did he walk away from that saying, oh, I got this? Like, when was it?
Derek does not even think on those type levels. He don't ever say, oh, I'm better than this guy or this guy, or I'm the guy, I'm the man. His mind don't go there. It's just, I think he's in more competition with himself. And for him, his job is to defend the pass. And to be honest, and I'm not saying this, and I don't want people to take this the wrong way, he's not like saying, I'm defending you as a receiver or you as a quarterback. He said, I'm more worried about my technique and what I have to do if this happens and how I got to react to it to make the play. That's his mindset, you know. Now, he respects his opponents, without a doubt, he does. You know, he has to do his homework on whoever he's going up against. But he's never been like, I'm the guy, or I know I'm that good. You know, he was surprised. I wasn't at that opening in Frisco. I was away coaching in an indoor league, and he called me, like, immediately. Like, Dad, I just ran a 4.3. I was like, what? Oh, my God. I said, well, you know what? I knew you would do it, because we were still training at 5 every morning. Although I wasn't home, I had a good friend of mine who I trust and believe in. He would also train Derek. So Derek would get up at 5 in the morning before school, go train, go back home, 6 o'clock, get ready for school, drive over to school for an 8 o'clock class. That was his daily routine leading up to that. And I told him, I said, you know, I wasn't surprised that you did those times.
I mentioned the opening, but it's another all-star event that I think really, as far as a college football audience, begins to tell Derek's story. So it's the All-American Bowl in San Antonio. This is 2 Januaries ago. And we're there watching practice, and it's like Derek's class of 2019 classmates. And Derek's not there, obviously. He's in Arizona doing Fiesta Bowl practice. And we're all reading these articles about Derek's picking off Joe Burrow. He got Dave Aranda saying he's the best cornerback we've got. And so Derek, like, his teammates are his peers are, you know, going against each other. And now Derek's going against, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and intercepting a future Heisman winner. And I think at that point on, the hype train really started going on a national level. He obviously lived up to it, but I think it was clear then that he was about to sort of have a monster freshman season.
Yeah, you know, that was actually a difficult decision for Derek to make, because, you know, as a kid, he always wanted to go to, you know, the All-American game. You know, I think it was the U.S. Army game at one point. And that was the thing that he wanted. But when we were faced with an opportunity for him to actually start practicing with LSU, we were like, wait a minute now, you know, what's more important? It's like, you know, me personally, I was like, Derek, I said, look, I know this is what you want to do with the All-American game, I said, but you have an opportunity to now get better, like get extremely better, or to at least, you know, see where you stand or where you size up with your future teammates. And I said, you know, go ahead and make the decision. I said, I'm with you either way. I said, I know what you always wanted to do. I said, but, you know, I just think that this may be better for you. And he said, well, Dad, you know, I think I'm ready for college. You know, I'd rather go ahead and do that now. And I was at every practice, and it was amazing to watch. Like, I remember I got there late on the first day, and I was trying to find him. And I was looking. I was like, where is he? You know, everybody was out on the field already. I'm like, where is he? You know, they were all, like, stretching, warming up, whatever. And I said, oh, wow. I said, this is real. I said, because he belongs, because I can't find him. He's fitting right in with everyone. He doesn't look like the little kid, or, you know, you have the little boy's face, but, you know, his body type, he's bigger, you know, he's 6'1", he's muscular. I'm like, I can't even see him. I said, so, okay, he can fit in with these guys. And then when practice started, he was making play after play, and he's picking balls off, and, you know, one-on-ones, he was just not having his way, but he was making difficult on, you know, whoever he was going up against. And then he was picking balls off. And I'm like, this is crazy. And then team period, he's picking balls off, 7-on-7. I was like, this is nuts. And he kind of looked at me all, you know, coming off the field. He was like shaking his head with his little grin. And I kind of knew what he was thinking. I kind of walked over to him. I said, it's not going to always be like this. I said, so remember, you got to prepare every day like this is your hardest day. So he was like, yeah, I know. And from that point on, it was the same thing. It's like at every practice, he challenged everybody. He never made it easy on whoever he was going up against. And it showed throughout the year as well.
Well, you said you told him it's not always going to be like this, but like it was. Like you fast forward, you know, 12 months and a week or two, and he's a national champion. He just got done locking down like T. Higgins and Justin Ross. And now it's like he's the best cornerback in college football, in my opinion and in most people's opinions. And like, Derek, when we talk about your son, it's almost like he's a national champion. He's like, I hate to project to the day that college football doesn't have him, but in 2022, he's going to be a top five pick. And it's like kind of what's next. And now I got to ask you, getting snaps on offense, is that something that you think happens this year? You knew I was going to ask that. Is that a this year thing? Is that a 2021 thing? Because he has everything else. I mean, he's going to have everything else, you know, probably get a Thorpe along the way too, but we could make a Charles Woodson like run out of Heisman here, can't we?
Well, you know what? That this thing has grown some wings, and it's going way out there. I can't be in control of what Coach O decides to do with Derek, because that's his football team. Whatever he chooses to do with Derek, whether it's, you know, offense, defense, including special teams. But Coach O and I and Derek as well, we talked about some things before he signed his letter of intent. And, you know, at the time, Coach O was really ready for him to play two ways going into his freshman year. And I just said, look, Coach, I think Derek is a great talent. I said, you know, he can do it on a high school level, I think, with no problem. I believe that in college, you know, he would have some struggles. So I would love for him to be able to just understand, you know, the position of being a defensive back early on in his career. I said, until he gets to the point where he masters and he has the understanding of what he needs to do as a corner, I said, if you feel the need to play him at offense, then great. And then I said, in my opinion, I don't think that would be until his junior year. But now, if Coach O thinks that he's ready, that he got a full understanding and he can protect himself and play both sides of the ball, and that's on Coach O. That's his decision as a head coach. I can't do anything about that.
Well, I'm looking forward to the day we see it. I'll send you out with this. You said you guys were staying in shape and working out. That's no surprise. And we were all kind of finding creative ways to sort of get through this quarantine. As a parent of one of college football's best players, like, how much time do you think these guys are going to need to get in game shape if we do have a season come late August? Is June, is July pushing it? Is there a point where it gets unsafe, in your opinion?
Well, because here's the thing, like, you know, by me being a coach that I coached, you know, Arena Football League for years, you need a lot of prep time. You know, there's an acclimation period in all this, you know, not only just the physical part, but the mental part as well. You know, you got to install plays. You have to see if things work and don't. I think if this goes into July, we may have to push the season back. I think if things start like normal, meaning with fall camp, you know, latter part of June or however it works, something like that, I think we're good. But if it goes any further, I think that the season needs to be either pushed back or we have to do an abbreviated season, one or two.
Well, I appreciate it, Derek. I hope we don't get to that point, but excited to watch Derek whenever we get there. So thanks so much for your time.
Well, I appreciate you guys, man. Yeah, I appreciate all this. Thank you.
I appreciate Derek joining us for that interview. He was great. I learned a lot. I hope you guys did too. Excited to see what you think about it. We're going to have a lot more coverage this week on the College Football Daily as far as the 20 under 20 is concerned. We're going to tell you about a Miami defensive end who you might never have heard of, who could be a top 10 pick in 2021. We're going to cover the all-time recruit bracket that we've been rolling out at 24/7 Sports. I'm checking my content calendar. I think we should have a Sweet 16 by this point. And we're going to do another rewatch on Friday. Last week we did the 2001 Arkansas Ole Miss game that went 7 overtimes. And from there we talked about Matt Jones becoming an SEC legend that game and in the next few years. And we also talked about Eli Manning and what he was like as a recruit. So we're going to do another rewatch Friday. Stay tuned for whichever game that'll be so you can follow along. But other than that, that's going to do it for today's episode of the College Football Daily. If you appreciate what we're doing, please express your support by leaving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. If you have a good idea for something you want us to cover on the podcast, leave it in a review. I see a few out there. I promise we're getting to them. There's a really good one about how will new coaches who are implementing a rather exotic scheme do this or struggle to do this without spring football, such as Mike Leach at Mississippi State. I'm going to have Charles Power on the podcast at some point the next few weeks to talk about that, because he's going to work on a written piece on that as well. So keep helping us figure out what to talk about during the era of the coronavirus. So for our producer, Tawny Levitt, I'm Trey Scott, and we will see you on Tuesday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.